Hey friends, today's March 8th and it's Friday and we're ready to do nonsense, so let's go.
You know what TV companies love to do? They love to shove your TV full of crap that you don't need.
Yeah.
And they've taken it to an amazing new level.
Samsung is loading McAfee antivirus on smart TVs. And yes, that is the antivirus formerly associated with John McAfee,
who is a crazy man.
Who is as insane as this, like a smart TV with antivirus?
And yet, under his leadership, it wasn't as bad a product.
Which is...
But here's the thing about timeline. It. They run their own OS on this TV. So it's a black box. People don't know how to get into it. And they could just secure it. They don't need to put McAfee on it. But guess what? McAfee's paying them.
And if it's bundled with the operating system, don't you think the bad guys are going to figure out how to defeat it?
It's ridiculous. Smart TVs are wrong. Buy monitors.
Yeah.
They're the same thing. You can get a TV tuner if you have to.
I want a thing to display signals, not something that has a microprocessor in it. Come on.
We've heard a lot about Amazon's Ring technology. You see a lot of videos, a lot of interesting videos. They have that neighborhood watch. What was that called? It was just called Neighborhoods, right?
Yeah.
Where people were kind of like turning it into social media and spying on each other and stuff. But what if I told you that everybody could watch your Ring?
Serious Amazon Ring vulnerability leaves audio and video feeds open to interception and spoofing. Now, I think this has been patched now, right? According to the thing. But this like security researcher was like, wow, this is surprisingly easy to do.
Yeah, they didn't reveal it until they had time to fix it. Just because they understood how. If I knew what the actual quote was, like when Gandalf throws the cloth back over the stone. It's like, you don't know who's looking back or something like that.
Oh, it's yeah.
What's the quote?
The exact quote in the movies, we don't know who else could be watching.
We literally
they're not
know.
All accounted for.
Yeah.
And we know that's true of like the Zuck. But Amazon? Yeah, them too.
Yeah, well, this would just be somebody like driving around near your house that's picking up your RTMP.
Can we get into some kind of infinite loop? Like, can we pit like the all-seeing eye of Amazon against the all-seeing eye of Facebook and like somehow that cancels each other
out? Well, what they actually do is just share data. On your advertising profile. They work together. So, no, you can't do that.
Aww.
It's time to take your hat off, hold it over your heart, and press F to pay respects to CoinHive.
The CoinHive crypto jacking service to shut down in March 2019. I think CoinHive actually had a good idea, and it was so good that the criminals immediately started using it everywhere.
It might be a little unfair to call them the crypto jacking service.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not what they intended. That wasn't their vision, but yeah.
It's like, actually, I like we could take, even though we're on like Super Turbo, I like their vision of the web, which is not an advertising powered web, but a like cryptocurrency microtransaction powered web, where you're looking at a web page, some of your compute resources go to pay for what you're looking at. That could work.
Right. It could work the same way that your fantasy Star Trek universe could work, and that is not.
Oh.
How about cryptocurrency wallets and security? You build a cryptocurrency wallet, you got to have security foremost in your mind, you think, right?
One would think, yeah.
But not the case.
Cryptocurrency wallet has been caught sending user passwords to Google Spell Checker, which is an HTTP API, not HTTPS, so anybody can intercept whatever your password was.
And that
so
happened.
Embarrassing.
According to the complainer here, he lost, what was it, like 90% of his cryptocurrency? He doesn't know for sure that this was the problem, but he thinks it was. So they built this with like the Chromium API, which, guess what? Always uses the Google Spell Checker and sends it in plain text.
Nice.
Good job.
Not nice.
Good job. Canaries in the coal mine. Those little heroes have saved us for centuries, and they continue to do so in digital format.
Cloudflare has expanded its government warrant canaries. So if you're not in the know, a warrant canary is a message posted on a website that says, "We have not been served with a warrant." You can totally get a warrant that says you're not allowed to tell anybody that you got a warrant. So companies can totally take down the warrant canary off of the website that says we haven't gotten a warrant, and judges have ruled that's actually okay. You're not saying that you got a warrant. You're just not saying that you have not got a warrant, which is completely fine under the Constitution, apparently.
English is such a strange language. It's like, that sounds insane, but I understood exactly what you meant.
Well, when you deal with the government, you have to get insane.
Yeah. Right?
You have to play on their terms.
So they've got warrant canaries for all sorts of things, from encryption keys to individual user accounts, and there's like 9 things that they're warrant canarying. So, yay.
Thunderbolt and lightning. Very, very frightening.
That's a song.
IT News is talking about Thunderbolt vulnerabilities leave computers wide open. So I was reading this and I was thinking, this has got to be overblown because modern Thunderbolt has a mechanism in it wherein the device that is connected is disabled until it's been explicitly approved. Well, nope, these guys found a way around that.
Now, I'll forgive you for Jethro Tull because that's prog rock masturbation bullshit, but you know this one, right?
What?
What's the name of that song?
There's
been a movie Queen. About it.
It's from Queen. There's a movie. Bohemian Rhapsody.
There you go.
Oh.
Fantastic.
It took me. My brain is very slow about switching gears. I need time.
There is no time on the Level 2 News.
Well, I just bought a house recently, and let me tell you, the amount of PDF documents that I digitally signed would make your head spin. And this is a little bit disturbing.
Researchers have broken digital signatures for most desktop PDF viewers. Researchers faked signatures on 21 out of 22 desktop PDF viewer apps and 5 out of 7 online PDF signing services. Basically, there's a mechanism in these PDFs where you can do a partial update. And if you do a partial update in just the right way, it doesn't break the signature on whatever was signed to begin with. So, like, it's like you sign the document and then somebody can go back and add a little bit more stuff to the document and it doesn't break the signature, which it totally should do.
Yeah, they...
It's been fixed.
They allowed all of the different PDF vendors to have time to fix this because it's such a huge thing because the entire financial industry is run on these e-documents now. Kind of disturbing. We've talked about 5G and 5G is... I'm so tired of it already. I'm so tired of hearing about 5G and 6G, as Trump would say. And now we have to talk about it more, though, because it turns out all that extra security, maybe not.
New flaws in 4G and 5G allow attackers to intercept calls and track phone locations. Now, are these deliberate design flaws or are they accidental things?
It's a feature, not a bug.
I don't think these are deliberate because this is just, it's what they thought was going to be better security. That is now broken. But if we're going to talk about deliberate...
5G means you have to say goodbye to your location privacy. Long story short, it's because 5G is going to require more towers than 4G. So you're going to be pinpointed to a much closer location because of the tower proximity.
It is actually going to be... I would say that they will blanket more of these than they need just to make sure they have really good signal. And they're so small, you can put them on top of like street lamps and stuff. So it's going to be amazingly accurate where you are with 5G.
I was reading this and I was thinking that if the cell density really has to be that high, we're never going to see 5G anytime soon because these companies just can't be bothered to roll out and maintain.
I was going to say hot take. How's that going to work in Eastern Kentucky?
But yeah. You know what I bet they'll do? They'll roll out 5G and they'll go like to a shopping plaza, for example, and be like, hey guys, coverage sucks here. You want to subsidize some towers so your customers have a really good experience here and they want to come here?
I mean, maybe, but
I'll do it.
We're going to need to see so many 5G towers that, I mean, I don't know.
Just a Jeep pile. Just give them money.
It's going to be amazing. It's like, I'm going to go hiking slightly off the beaten path, and it's like, oh, I've got no coverage of any kind.
Well, that's already the case.
Hikers. Who cares about hikers? Right? If you live in this country, one thing, you pretty much, you know, there are a couple of people who can live without this, but pretty much everybody has to have utilities. You have to have it. You have to sign up for it. You have to deal with their
electric and water,
online payment, and
sewage.
Actually, most garbage. Places, like even if you collect rainwater and do solar, they'll fine you because it's like not minimal living standards or whatever. And so you can't avoid this kind of horror.
Plain wrong. Millions of utility customers. Passwords are stored in plain text. See, that's why it's plain wrong. So ours put together this. There was a guy that noticed that when he asked for a password reset from his utility company, it just mailed him his own password. That's not good for a variety of reasons, most of which the Ars Technica author goes into great excruciating detail to explain. But a lawyer for the utility company was like, it's fine. You need to stop talking to people about this. You're causing undue panic. But the utility company does appear to be changing it. So,
yeah, if you're not hip to password encryption, the utility company should never know your password.
Yeah.
They should only know the encrypted version of it. But no, if they email it to you in plain text, it means they're storing it in plain text. There was a little bit more layering, like the database was separated somehow, but if the website could query it, then the attacker could query it.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So it's in an Oracle encrypted database. That doesn't mean anything. If someone steals your Oracle server, I guess it's good, but that's probably not going to happen anyway. I mean, come on.
If you know somebody who uses a horribly out-of-date iPhone and you would like to hack them, the time has never been better.
iPhone and Android hacking tools used by the FBI and DHS are on eBay for as little as $100. Although Cellbrite, these are Cellbrite devices. They're obsolete, so they won't open modern phones. So police precincts are looking to get rid of them. Now, Cellbrite, the purchase agreement requires that you return obsolete devices to them. They're not doing that. But I have a feeling that Cellbrite is so paranoid about these getting out into the public that they're just going to go on eBay and buy up whatever, or send letters to be like, hey, where did you get it? It's probably stolen.
And they have to have some sort of line of fine print in that contract.
Yeah.
They're going to find the crap out of these police organizations who are trying to sell them.
Oops.
So that's probably a good thing. They should have to pay a lot more to violate everybody's rights. IBM is sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I do not see the issue here. This is the most ridiculous thing. This is nonsense, by the way.
IBM is so very, very sorry after the jobs page casually asks hopefuls, are you white, black, or yellow? There's more categories than that, but those are perhaps not the most
PC.
But, okay, well, yeah. let's think about this logically and take the dogma out of it. Are we pure white?
No.
No, we're some shade of white, right? Are black people solid black?
I'm 100% sure that, like, my great-great or my great-great-great-grandfather was a Sasquatch.
But so. I'm not even talking about that. I mean, let's take the blackest African, the most pure-blood African that you can find. He is not black. He is some, like, brownish-black shade, right? As we are some off-white flesh color. And as Asian people are not like flashlight yellow. They don't look like the wet floor sign.
Jaundiced yellow, not at all.
But is it wrong to call a black person black any different than it is to call an Asian person yellow?
Yellow has a slightly more racist connotation to it, though.
Why?
Because just the history of the word, I don't know. Like,
I don't...
And also, this was the thing in the drop-down, too, though. It looks like it was something that was supposed to be used for, like, the Brazil market.
Well, they admitted... So, the problem here...
not American.
They admitted that the problem is this came from an AI doing a translation.
Yeah.
So, the word for... the Portuguese word for Asian got translated into yellow.
Well, I could see that, like, black would be negro, I guess. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So, if it's, like... I mean, if there was a version of this that was, like, hillbilly or... you know, something like that. I don't think I would be super offended by that.
I'd check it. Do I get some sort of like
no, I prefer special treatment? I prefer Appalachian American. Thank you.
Computers in space, they have problems, but we're trying to solve them.
Is that like pigs in space?
But then there are other problems because this computer can't catch a ride.
Computers stranded in space. This is on the International Space Station. These are HP Enterprise servers that have been modified for the space station. They're testing longevity of computers in space, like modern-ish computers, longevity in space, and they had a flash failure and some other stuff, but the computers dealt with it. They need to be studied in a lab back here on Earth, so...
It's not surprising once you think about it, but I was not aware that ISS computers do all their computing on Earth.
Yeah, because turns out all that radiation and stuff, I mean, DNA barely works in space.
I don't think the stock photo works with this story, though. Like, this has nothing to do with the supercomputer.
They were like, just do, like, a space picture inside of the window. Just Photoshop that right in.
The reason they're testing this is because of what you said, the computer's on Earth, but if they go to Mars, the computers can't be on Earth. But they got to take the computers with them.
That's not a picture of a computer. I'm sorry. No. What is... So, imagine this. You find the farthest thing in the solar system. And you feel so good about yourself.
And you name it Far Out.
But it's short-lived.
Somebody else finds something called Far Far Out, which displaces Far Out as the most distant object in our solar system.
So creative.
It's like 100 times farther than the Earth.
I don't know. I don't like this photo either.
It's okay.
Stock photos are not good today.
Yeah.
They have not confirmed for sure that this object is what they think it is. But they're going to look at it with a telescope.
So it's a UFO? I guess it's not a flying object. It's just,
well, they're
just, it's just
looking,
a UO.
They're looking at like gravitational distortion. They're not even looking at a thing. So who knows? We talked about Uganda, and they had a ridiculous tax. Do you remember the numbers? It was like...
It was really high.
It was a per day payment if you use social media at all that day. And we wondered, what would people pay to get on social media, Ugandans specifically? And now we have the surprising answer.
Millions of Ugandans have quit internet services altogether as social media tax takes effect. So this is talking about how internet service providers in the area and stuff are hard hit because people are just dropping internet access altogether to avoid this social media tax.
Yeah, they don't care enough to pay it. Now, I remember the original story. They had an insanely low daily income. And though the price was really, it was something like, what, 30 cents or something like that? But their daily income was $4 or $5. So that's not a non-trivial amount. That's a percentage right there. And so they simply don't care anymore. That's not that important to them. The people in charge, they said, you know what? I think it'll be okay. You know, they'll go back. Everything will be okay. But I think secretly they're like, perfectly as planned.
Yeah.
Although it is crashing the economy. They have those mobile payment companies.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just...
They're having a hard time now.
They're like, we got to quit because nobody's using it. So, good job. Ajit Pai is probably looking at that and like, I see a
But isn't it more valuable to have the information about your citizens than to not have it?
Let's get the last story.
Did he? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did. Michigan. So, you think to yourself, I keep running into this horrible future where I'm going to have to get Facebook? Is that a reality where I'm going to be forced into getting Facebook? And stories like this make me think it could be true.
Michigan Attorney General used his Facebook message to serve a $784,000 judgment. So basically, this guy was doing some bad stuff, didn't show up for court, ignored everything, left Michigan, and this is, I think, a default judgment. And they didn't have any other way to get a hold of him. Used Facebook to be like, hey, you got a judgment.
They discovered he was still active on Facebook, even though everything else about his identity in Michigan he had abandoned. So
it's interesting. That may be a thing.
Well, it is a thing. I mean, he's not going to pay that money.
No.
Clearly.
Well.
But legally, he is now going to be treated as if he was aware of it.
He could probably be extradited from another state at this point because of the dollar amount involved.
Does it become criminal?
I think so. Felony? Yeah.
We'll see.
Sounds right.
Now, around here, they will not do something like this when you owe that kind of money. Krista, I was just thinking of you. How much of a relief is it that Rue has no commercial value whatsoever?
That's great, you know. Only I can put up with Rue. I was thinking how sad this would make random PC stuff, because he has a pug. It's one of our chat viewers.
And he is a filthy Brit.
He is.
So.
Family pug seized by town over unpaid debts and sold on eBay. And look how happy this dog is. I don't think this is the same dog. But
No, this appears to be a
Getty Images stock photo. But I bet that's what that dog looked like. He was so happy at home, and then he got sold on eBay.
There is another twist to the story, though.
They sold him on eBay, but he was sick.
He needed eye surgery. And so now the person that bought him is suing the township that seized him from the other people. Because it's cost them like £14,000 or something like that.
The poor people that they were seized, the pug was seized from, also said that the people almost seized a wheelchair, but then the tax people were like, no, we can't seize a wheelchair. And it's like, but you seized a pug. I mean,
well,
really?
But I think maybe the reason they didn't seize the wheelchair is they realized the pug was worth more. They wanted the most valuable item in the home.
Yeah, say if the pug is purebred, it could be worth more.
How sad if your dog is the most valuable item in your home. If you're living in those conditions and you owe that kind of money, and you buy a purebred dog, you do deserve to be punished.
Yeah.
But don't punish the dog. It's wrong.
I don't understand the whole purebred dog mania.
This one, this is a somber note because...
Yeah, this was the first nonsense story I read today, and I was like, oh.
And if you use the level one forum, this has to give you pause. More if you read through the YouTube comments ever. Because our audience...
This one's going to be a little bit of an engagement challenge.
They share an interest in a common thing.
So, yeah. The report here is the Jacksonville man has blamed anime for molesting a girl in a church utility closet. He turned himself in, but it was like, why did you do this? And he said anime.
Well, let's read his quote.
This is terrible on so many levels, but like, just why? Why?
I feel like he could have answered
literally anything else.
What?
Republicans, Democrats.
I can't.
Bananas.
I can't find the quote.
Aliens. I'm a sick and twisted individual. InfoWars. And I need to take accountability for my horrible actions, but I'm not going to do that.
Oh, no. Here. Okay. He says, do you have children? If you do, keep them away from anime and manga. They're perverted and sick. I'm an idiot. So we can extrapolate that he feels that anime led him to the molestation of a 3-year-old girl.
There's so many other steps between I enjoy anime and I'm going to take a kid and try to molest him.
How many steps do you think there are?
There's so many. There's so many moments where he could have been like, no, I should not do this because this is a horrible, wrong thing to do.
Maybe they should. Remember at the end of every G.I. Joe and Masters of the Universe episode, they would give you a moral lesson that had to do with today's episode. Perhaps anime should adopt that. Like at the end of tentacle porn, they take a minute and they're like, listen, just in case you didn't realize it, it's wrong to rape young girls with tentacles. You shouldn't do that. It's bad.
What a horrible story. The rest of the nonsense stories are not that bad. I guess there's only one left. And it is actually kind of bad.
It's not as bad.
In fact, never mind.
But it's the same kind of violation. Now, I saw that Taco Bell is now doing free delivery if you order a certain minimum amount. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's amazing. We've got the Uber Eats and the Grub something.
Grubhub.
And all these different things. You get anything delivered. But you must use caution.
Man accused of dipping testicles in customer salsa. Ugh.
Wasn't this guy also kind of creepy looking? I seem to recall. We read this story like Monday.
I don't know if they have a picture.
Oh, no, I thought there was a picture of it.
So the scenario here is actually more horrifying than I had initially realized. Because I read this pretty quickly and it was like, oh, this is over an 86 cent tip. And what had actually happened was that the customer paid with a credit card and just rounded. And it was 86 cents. And they were like, oh, that's all we get for a tip, blah, blah, blah. But see, the scary thing is, I've actually done that. Like, I've actually, like, paid with a credit card, but then when they arrive, I give them a cash tip. Because usually, like, a restaurant or whatever will take the thing. And so, if before the transaction is complete, somebody has done this, that's, like, really horrifying. Because maybe that person was going to give them more than an 86-cent tip.
Yeah, it is very presumptuous to put your testicles in the salsa before you find out if there's going to be a supplementary tip.
I just assume that this person has like been delivered to before. This is like a, you know, there's some kind of a thing going on with the delivery driver because that's always bad news.
No, he did mention it was a 30-minute trip.
Yeah.
So it could be like the second time around. I think there are multiple lessons here, one of which is tip your delivery drivers.
The second one is maybe don't dip your testicles in spicy hot salsa. Well, how did they find out? Okay.
And especially don't put it online.
I'm going to assume that most of our viewers are not delivery drivers, though. They're actually the recipients.
There's a few who
I'm trying to give them that. But the other thing is, I think the credit card tipping is stupid all around.
Yeah.
That is, maybe leave a comment. It's like, will tipping cash based on performance? Because they'll let you leave a comment, you know. But pre-tipping could backfire as well, because then what's the motivation?
Yeah, especially when you're 30 minutes out.
Yeah. It's like, you're going to get lukewarm salsa with pubic hairs in it.
Lukewarm? You want the salsa to be cold.
Yeah, chilled salsa. That's how they serve it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right, right.
My neighbor, when I lived in an apartment complex, would very often was like, I order a pizza and some other stuff, like 2 or 3 days worth of food. But it's, you know, from a pizza place, and it was like $20 tip in it for you if you bring me like a 12-pack of Natural Light or something like that. And so that would happen every time.
Excuse you, it's called Natty Light.
Excuse you, we're at 24 minutes.
See ya.
We did it. Bye.